Darryl Bradford Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday night edition. Today's date is the 12th day of May 2009. Of course, my name is Darryl Bradford Smith. It's great to be here with you all for another important broadcast for everyone. We have a wonderful guest lined up for today's broadcast, somebody who's going to impart a great deal of knowledge about how law enforcement works in the United States. But what you need to know is he is a constitutionalist based upon constitutional rights and laws. And what I have studied about the South African Constitution, it is not dissimilar from the United States Constitution in many of its acts and articles. Now, Sheriff Mack will be the first to acknowledge that many people within law enforcement seem to be working for the government rather than the people. And therein lies the largest problem within the relationship between the public and the law enforcement personnel, is that if crimes are being committed and the law enforcement agencies are unwilling to enforce these laws against the criminal government, then you are left with what you are left with. You have no recourse. And that is also, he's also going to bring up issues that pertain to the use, the laws regarding firearms, having the right to hold and bear arms. Now, it's important that each of you understand America's Constitution guarantees that everybody has the right to a gun, to have a gun. And that right is not given to Americans to protect them from crime, although that is one of the reasons why one might have the use of a gun. It is actually to protect the public from tyranny of the government. And if a society becomes disarmed, they are sitting victims for the government's tyranny. And we have seen it thousands of times in thousands of places around the world, that as soon as you disarm the public, the government has free rein to do as it wishes with whomever it wishes and to break every rule that they seemingly follow, which they don't. And America right now is in tyranny. They are not following constitutional rules and values. They have ignored the facts around the crimes of 9/11. They have ignored the facts around Israeli crimes that have been committed. Now, interesting that Sheriff Mack, his name is Sheriff Richard Mack, and he has joined a group called Oath Keepers, that people, when they get a job working in law enforcement in the United States or in the military, they make an oath, they take an oath to be loyal to that Constitution. And so we have a great deal to talk about, and I want to have you all understand that while we are discussing the American Constitution and the values, it is transferable to any country that has a constitution that they value that is supposed to protect individual freedoms and liberties. So this is apropos in every way to the South African experience as well. So much happening, ladies and gentlemen. Financial debacle, deepening unemployment, deepening monetary problems, worsening European problems, again, getting worse. If you remember from last week's show, I talked to you about their latest scare tactic with using this bird flu slash swine flu slash whatever it is, laboratory flu. This is not to say, ladies and gentlemen, that there are not terrible diseases being designed by government scientists in the United States, in Israel, and in Britain, and goodness knows where else they're designing them. But they are. And this was a test for their system, I believe. They were instilling panic worldwide. You have to know that only 69 people have died from this flu, very few. And I would imagine if I did my statistical research, I could find 69 people died today from falling off ladders in the world. So, are we going to ban ladders? Are we going to start quarantining people as they did in California over this? Or as they started doing in airports around the world? Ladies and gentlemen, this does not mean they will not inflict upon us a problem of biological origins, what it does mean is that is another layer of control that they are exacting against us. We are losing our civil liberties. We are losing our right to move freely, which is guaranteed in the Constitution of South Africa, as well as in the United States, based upon faulty science. But when the real flu hits, and some people have alluded to the fact that in this next autumn season, we are going to see a real deadly outbreak of disease. And this will, no doubt, in my mind, be propagated and designed by government scientists or by criminal scientists working against the public. There are people in this world, ladies and gentlemen, who are considered eugenicists. They are not interested in what you think or what your life is to you. They are simply interested in their own goals and their own means of getting to those goals. Make no mistake about it. When we speak about these incidents and these problems worldwide, what we do talk about, ladies and gentlemen, are facts. I can prove this with white papers. If you go to IamTheWitness.com, you will see people who have written books about it, who have documented these facts. And this has gone on for generations. They have tested these things on public without telling them. They've utilized people's populations in San Francisco to test the spreading of biological warfare agents. They used them in the Iraq War to sicken people. They gave vaccines that were toxic to the troops and got them all sick, and many of them have died. Thousands of American servicemen have died. Now, many people would say they should have, but you must understand that those young boys and women, young girls, went to that theater of war on a lie. See, they trusted their government to be honest, and they were lied to. They were betrayed. And governments betray people, ladies and gentlemen. They do. Now, what we need to do is learn about how these people take these actions, why they do it, and how we, as a freedom-loving people, and that I include that statement to everybody in this listening audience, whether they be from Islam or from Christianity or from Sikh background or Hinduism, it does not matter to me where on this planet your origins are from. If you are a freedom-loving human being, and that should be every human being, then you have an interest in this information. In fact, your life may depend on it. I get on this program every week, and I try to beat the drum of these facts so that you all are able to make good decisions based on good information and research. And that is my goal here. That is my job. Now, interesting, if you hearken back to my original broadcasts with CII, back 2 years ago with Zahid Asmal on reports that I gave. And I told everyone these problems were on their way. I said this on a broadcast with Zahid Asmal. I told him who was behind it, and I told him how serious it really was. Well, some 8-10 months later, I joined the staff of the presenters on CII and told you this past summer how desperate it would be. And it has been everything I promised and more. And it is slated, in my view, to get far worse than it is today. So I've been correct on my assertions from day one, from the beginning. My details and facts have been correct. And my finger pointing at the criminals has also been accurate and correct. What is it we are to do then in face of this? Well, there is a surge around the world, a awakening, if you will, of people who are starting to share this information. The criminals are very, very afraid of this information reaching the mass media or the masses of public who could possibly revolt against their control. I have been threatened. I've had my computer systems attacked. I've even been cut off while I was doing shows on this network more than once. I've had threats of lawsuits and threats of license removal from CII's license to broadcast from it by the South African Jewish Board of Deputies and other groups around the world. And yet I still fight on. Because what, ladies and gentlemen, is our alternative? What is What is it that I am to do if not to fight? I am not a sheep going to slaughter, and I will not roll over for criminal gangs. I won't allow it. I wouldn't roll over for an Italian mafia, La Cosa Nostra, and nor will I roll over for a Zionist-backed criminal mafia. I just will not do it. And one needs to wonder how much more we need to do to reach a critical mass of people worldwide who know these facts. You know, I was called crazy early on. They said he doesn't have his head screwed on straight, but I kept predicting things that kept happening and kept saying that this would be happening next. Finally, people started paying attention to the things I was saying because I was right, and I was right, and I was right, and I was right over and over again. And I started pointing to the people doing it, and I proved with research, with books, with other researchers that the things I had proven to them were actually taking place. And it is through evidence and proof that others will be brought into this. You must tell others about the French Connections broadcast. You must try and get copies of this made on a recorder, and so you can share it with others in your community. There is no more important job right now for you listeners than to share this with others. You know, it doesn't matter if you're not from Islam, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we all have a unique take, background when we arrive on this planet. Your parents or my parents that raised me were raised in different parts of the world with different spiritual beliefs. One thing we did share, one thing we held in common, was our freedom, our love for freedom, our love for our families, our love for good health, good friendships, a good job. These are things that are universally treasured in this world. Freedom to follow the spiritual interests in our lives. Freedom to be friends with whom we choose. Freedom to follow a constitution that is enforced and enforceable by our government. Freedom to hold pride within the good works of good people around us. Today, so many of those goals and freedoms and loves that we hold uniquely as human beings are being destroyed by world Zionism. They are inflicting upon us homosexuality without regard for our interests if we don't want to accept it. You see, if there are people in this world who choose that lifestyle, I am not the kind of human being who wants to persecute that person, because persecution of anyone is wrong. However, what I believe is that for them to try and tell me I have to accept that as a way of life in a first choice and start teaching it to my young children in school, which is what's taking place in America, they're teaching this to first, second, and third grade children. I take offense to that. I take offense to the institution of marriage being used outside of the context of a man and a woman. We have tens of thousands of years of coming together as human beings and making families, and we have thousands of years of history where marriage is an integral part of family life. And they're trying to destroy that. They're trying to take away our morality by using drugs and dealing drugs out of Afghanistan, heroin, and out of Colombia, cocaine, and out of the Mexican desert by manufacturing methamphetamine or by selling quat around the globe or other things. Alcohol being sold to younger children, not making it criminal acts that children have access to these substances. Or they're trying to use poisons to sicken us. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand up. We need to stand up now before it's too late. When we come back after these messages, we will have Sheriff Richard.
This is CII. You're listening to the French Connection.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Couldn't be happier to have my next guest joining us. It is an important thing that this man is going to represent to not only South Africans, but people worldwide. As I explained, and I will, in this little introduction, explain to Sheriff Mack, South Africa enjoys a constitution not very dissimilar from the United States Constitution. And there are within that constitution the right to protect oneself, the right to assemble freely, the right to free speech. Many of the rights that Americans are watching slip away through fraudulent attacks on their civil liberties and claims of terrorism and the rest of it. And Sheriff Mack has been standing up with some new and novel ways of fighting back. Basically, I'm going to let him explain those. Sheriff Mack, are you with me?
I am, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, Richard, you know, one of the things that we talked about after I saw your Oath Keepers video is how things are sliding. But before we go into that, could you give the listeners in Africa, we transmit throughout the entire continent of Africa into the Middle East and Europe, as well as the United States. So we're going to be heard worldwide. 152 countries are going to hear this, Sheriff Mack. What is it that you did as a sheriff, and what brought you to where you are today?
Okay, that's probably the $10,000 question. For me, anyway. I was sheriff in Arizona. I'm from Arizona originally, and I grew up in a law enforcement home. My dad was an FBI agent, and I served in law enforcement for 11 years in Utah, and then I moved home to Arizona again, and I was raised here, right? Went to grade school and high school, played football, basketball, and baseball right here. Went to junior college here, played football and baseball there. And then I got into law enforcement, and when I was in law enforcement, I really had an epiphany occur to me. And I realized that just following orders was no longer a moral thing to do. And I started studying the United States Constitution, and that was my big mistake right there. I'll tell you honestly.
It wasn't a mistake, but it was a mistake as far as your career was concerned, I'm sure.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
And I say that with tongue in cheek when I say it was a mistake. I loved the Constitution. I loved what I was reading. I was really converted to it.
Yeah.
And I do mean converted. It was a spiritual experience for me. And I started reading about the Founding Fathers, and I really became close to what they stood for. And I promised myself that I would never be on the wrong side again. And that was also a quote out of the Mel Gibson movie, Braveheart.
Yep.
When I saw that movie, when Robert DeBruce said that to his father, it really hit me because 10 years earlier I had made that same promise. And so I continued to study the Constitution. And then when I ran for sheriff, I was elected. And it was really quite a miraculous election, because I'd never been a police officer in Arizona or in my hometown ever in my life, and I hadn't even lived here for 12 years. But my father had a good name, and we had a good family name, and I ran on that, and I won. Being such a miracle, I didn't know, you know, I felt like I was supposed to be sheriff, but nothing happened that seemed like, okay, so why was I elected sheriff when there was no really any significant thing going on? And I was reelected in 1992, and now here came the kicker. In November of 1993, Sarah Brady and the other gun control freaks in the United States,
yeah,
were really pushing this Brady Law, which was another federal gun control scheme. And Bill Clinton signed it into law, and then a couple of months later, agents of the BATF showed up at a sheriff's meeting in Phoenix and handed us a 25-page document that told us these are our marching orders in order to comply with the Brady Bill. Well, there's only 15 sheriffs in Arizona. It didn't take three agents to hand us that document. And I think they brought three agents because they knew that we were going to really be upset. And so the other guy, you know, nobody wanted to be by themselves when they pissed off all the sheriffs of this state.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard so much cussing in your life. I mean, that room was full of cussing afterwards. That They were talking about the federal government being so damn arrogant, and they're not their bosses. We're not their little boys. We're not their slaves. And so I decided after that I was going to file a lawsuit against my own federal government, against the Clinton administration to stop this. I knew that gun control was against the Constitution. I knew it was everything I stood against. And let me tell you, too, Daryl, I was never a gun advocate. At that point, I never belonged to the NRA or to any gun rights groups or to any hunting clubs. I have never been a hunter. I enjoy tennis and golf.
Okay, let me stop you. What is the reason we need guns? Why is it we need guns? I said in my monologue why I think we need guns.
Okay.
Tell me why we need to have guns.
Guns mean one thing to me.
Yep.
Freedom.
That's right.
If you're a free man, you can own a gun.
But if you're a free man and you want to stay free, you need to have a gun to stop people from taking your freedom. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you ever give up your guns, you're basically giving up your freedom. And that's historical.
Yes.
I mean, the historical precedence behind giving up your guns as a people or as an individual means you now trust government to take care of you. You no longer have the means or capability of defending yourself.
That's right.
You have to depend on the criminals being nice to you, or that government will actually take care of you. And we've learned through history that that is never the case. Government will not take care of you or your safety. They will control you, and that's all gun control is.
That's right.
And we need to be really honest about this gun control thing. Gun control has never been used as a means for creating peace or freedom. You need to understand that. The one point, and not you necessarily, but all the listeners, you need to understand that the historical perspective of gun control has never been to reduce crime or to create peace.
It is so that the federal government can exert more control over individuals and have them sit cowering at home, afraid to stand up for their rights.
Correct.
Yes.
And now, so the Brady Bill forced me to participate in gun control as sheriff, and the county where I served was a small county. That's where I am right now. I'm looking out over this beautiful valley and a beautiful mountain right here in southeastern Arizona. The county is Graham, like Graham Cracker, and the like Graham Cracker, and
yep.
The county seat is Safford.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in Safford, Arizona right now, even as we speak. But I told the federal government I was not going to participate. I didn't like it. I was hoping that all the sheriffs would just tell them no, but the sheriffs didn't think they could do that.
You were the only one that said no, Sheriff Mac? Were you the only one that said no?
No. In Arizona, I was, yes. In the United States, I was one of seven who ultimately filed this or joined the lawsuit. I was the first sheriff in the country to file the lawsuit. I didn't even know if I could file a lawsuit. But I called a lawyer at the NRA, and my undersheriff, my right-hand man at the sheriff's office, I asked him if he was a member of the NRA, and he said yes. And I said, do they have a toll-free number where you can get information? And he said yes, and he handed that to me. I called him, and I asked for a lawyer, and a man by the name of Richard Gardner got on the phone. And I told him I wanted to file a lawsuit against the federal government and stop the Brady Bill. And he said, oh, Sheriff, we've been praying that you would call. And so they got the paperwork ready for me, and I also told them that this was not going to be their lawsuit, that it would be mine, and I wanted to hire my own lawyer. And they recommended a lawyer to me out of Tucson by the name of Dave Hardy, and he and I still remain very good friends today. And so Hardy did it for me for free, and the NRA helped, and they paid for most of the expenses of the lawsuit. And we filed the lawsuit in federal district court the very day the Brady Bill took effect, which was February 28, 1994. After I filed, about 6 weeks later, a sheriff from Montana also filed a lawsuit, the exact same lawsuit, and then five other sheriffs from across the country joined the lawsuit. Now, you need to remember, there's over 3,000 sheriffs in the United States, but only seven filed this lawsuit.
How shameful does that sound to you, Sheriff?
What's that?
That sounds like a shameful thing that you just said.
Well, I am kind of ashamed of it in a lot of ways, because most of the sheriffs didn't like it. They didn't want to do this, and they didn't agree with it, and they went along. And that's something I can't do anymore. And when I made that promise to myself that I would never be on the wrong side again, there's no way I could participate in gun control.
Well, so what happened, Sheriff? What did they do to you, Richard?
Okay, well, you know, they really came after me. Morris Dees and the ADL really came after me. And I've never been prejudiced against anybody. I've never said anything bad about anybody. I just wanted to stop the gun control thing. And I guess, you know, Morris Dees was so in bed with the Clintonites that he really went after me, and the ADL really went after me. And I didn't even know what they were doing. I had no idea why they were going after me. And then there was a bunch of other groups, and Sarah Brady, and I debated her several times. And I was on the Phil Donahue show with her, and I debated her there, and I debated her on Good Morning America. But she's not a very good debater, quite honestly. I thought she was easy. But and then I debated several attorneys across the country from the ACLU and other places. But and I was kind of naive, and I still am, I guess. I still trust people, but I don't trust politicians. The politicians in Washington, D.C., I think, are a bunch of corrupt pawns, and they're all dictated by money. They're all owned by the banks and the Federal Reserve, and I don't support or trust or respect
any. Well, they're held by another group that you've probably seen on my website, but I told you we wouldn't get into that in our discussion because it's not necessary.
And there's a lot on your website I do agree with, but the politicians being bought off and controlled by the Federal Reserve and whatever group. What I do know, and I'll tell you this about your website. It mentions a lady that talks about the secret combinations and secret societies that are really in charge.
Yep.
I totally believe that.
It is true.
I totally believe that. I don't know who, but I know what.
I know who, Sheriff Mack. I know who, and you know what? I've made a commitment like you have. And you know, we're not very dissimilar in age. I think you said you were 56. I'm 52. I'm of a mind that, you know, I've got a family of children that are grown now, and I don't want them growing up in a country that I have discovered is as corrupt as it is. And when I discovered who was doing it and how they did it and where it was being done from, I said, no way, I'm not going to stand up for it. Now, guess what? This is going to shock you because we're being broadcast out of South Africa. The very same group, sure. The very same group has their tentacles in South Africa as deeply as they do in America. And they have since the founding of that country. And my South African listeners,
right.
No, it doesn't surprise you, especially since they're a very mineral wealthy nation. They've been stealing the resources of South Africa for the last 100 years. But so my point is this. Now, you get to this point where this you file the suit. What happened with this lawsuit, and what was happening in your private life after the ADL got into it?
Well, I just ignored the ADL after that. They made some threats, and I was speaking at a place in California with a state senator there by the name of Don Rogers. And we know it was them. We know it was the ADL, but we weren't able to prove it. But they did a bomb threat, so they had to clear the building, and the police came and all that. But and the ADL was protesting the meeting beforehand outside and stuff. But you know, I just didn't have any time for them, and I still don't. And I'll just tell you flat out, Morris Dees is probably one of the most dishonest connivers, charlatans that I've ever known in my life.
He's behind the Elome City, Oklahoma City bombing, Sheriff. Him and the people he had in Elome City were behind the Oklahoma City bombing. And I have proof on that, but we can go into another.
That surprised me. He's capable of anything. But
yeah.
Anyway, so the bottom line on my lawsuit is that we continue to fight it. My life went topsy-turvy. You know, it was a real roller coaster ride. Ultimately, it cost me my career in law enforcement. I lost the next election really bad. There was a lot of national groups going after me, and the people here in this small community just didn't like it. That it became they believed I caused all this controversy. And again, I was pretty naive, but I thought that might happen. I told my wife when we filed the lawsuit that it would probably cost me my job, and it did. But you know, I really don't care. I'm not going to compromise my standards or my morals like all the other politicians. The last thing I want on my epitaph is that I was a coward or that I was a go-along guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go along with what's wrong in America. I'm not going to go along with these Washington, D.C. corrupt politicians. I don't want to dress like them. I don't want to look like them. You'll see a lot of my pictures on my website that show me with the, you know, different colored shirts and stuff. And I don't want to wear a white shirt and a red tie and look like the president or any of those guys. I don't want to be like them in any way. But ultimately, to answer your question, no, we won. We won a case at the United States Supreme Court on the side of state sovereignty. Local officials have the authority and the power and the duty to stand against the corruption of Washington, D.C. Corruption from anywhere.
Right.
I don't care where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff especially is the people's protector here in America. And he has the obligation and has taken an oath to uphold and defend and obey the United States Constitution and to protect his citizens from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Now, domestic enemies usually come from Washington, D.C.
That's right.
And I will tell you that the number one threat, and I put this on my web, and I've written about this, and it's in my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And I really appreciate you putting that on your website.
Yeah.
And I do thank you for that. And the Oath Keepers interview that I did for Oath Keepers on YouTube has had over 16,000 hits in just about 10 days' time. And I recommend that to you. If you want to see what I look like, I'm not the best looking sheriff in the world, but I'm certainly in the top three.
Well, hey, Sheriff, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that, and the reason I'm bringing this up, I get some traction on my, when I make, when I bring people on the programming here and I make posts on my website, they're read by people. Now, let me give you a little heads up here. There's a city called Herndon, Virginia, and there's another one called Reston, Virginia. They're side by side. One has 20,000 and the other has 60,000, so 80,000 total. And out of the tens of thousands of hits I get in a day's time or in a week's time, they represent 8% of my hits. And guess who's there? That is where the NSA is and the CIA. So I've got CIA and NSA visiting my website, probably everybody that works at the place. they really, you know.
What I've told people when I go around the country and speak, they said, There might be agents or government agents here, and I said we invite them to come in. Maybe they'll learn something.
Yes, yes.
And that's how I feel. This is a cause that everybody needs to get behind. And,
yep.
And if any of your listeners can donate to this holy cause, I mean, we really need the help.
We do.
If you know, just go to my website, sheriffmack.com, and
yep.
Mac is M-A-C-K. But you can see it right here on your website.
Yeah.
We're trying to get this information out to all local officials,
mm-hmm.
especially the sheriffs of this country. And I'm trying to send a book to all 3,000 sheriffs because this really applies to them. And it could be any peace officer. Don't get me wrong. It's not just the sheriff. But the sheriff has the ultimate responsibility. He's the ultimate power in his county. And I'm trying to show him that, yes, I wrote this. A former sheriff wrote this book, who actually won a case at the United States Supreme Court against Bill Clinton, against Sarah Brady, and I lived to tell about it. And, it cost me my job and career, but I don't care. I'm not going to go along with these people just to keep a job.
Now, as your community, let me ask. Well, you know, we got to take another break, Sheriff Mack. We got a commercial break here coming up, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
We're going to be right back with Sheriff Richard Mack as soon as these most important communiques from our sponsors are finished.
To the French Connection.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and I want to get right back into the discussion we were having with Sheriff Richard Mack. Richard, you know, I interrupt because I'd like to add a little color commentary along with you on the events that transpired in your life, but I still want to hear the story as it progressed. You won the case, but you started losing public support. What was it about what they were doing to you in your local community that took away your support?
I would say the main thing is there was a lot of outside letters to the editor that were very negative, that were pro-gun control, that I should set an example of law and order, and I should go along with the law, and I'm wasting all the time that I should be spending being sheriff and protecting people. And people just didn't get it. And that this was me standing for law and order, especially the supreme law of the land. But, you know, most people don't understand the Constitution. It's not taught in our schools anymore.
Yeah.
So you say you're standing for the Constitution against the federal government. And Bill Clinton had quite a bit of popularity. He never really won big time here, but he still was pretty popular with a lot of Democrats and liberals here, and so they were really going to bat for him and defending Sarah Brady and defending the issue of gun control that they bought into this. So there's a lot of people that bought into. There was a lady who moved here from Chicago who even started a recall against me and was going around getting signatures, and she did that for about 4 or 5 months, and she was not successful, but it was another stroke against me, and people were just tired of it. And the whole community, I would say, if they had to vote for or against gun control, the issue would win. I mean, people would not support gun control here. But it's getting worse all the time because, as I said, the education system does not teach fundamentals of freedom. It does not teach fundamentals of individual responsibility. People believe that you could call 911 and be protected. Call the police, they'll protect you. And nothing could be further from the truth. I spent 20 years in law enforcement, and I absolutely know that police will not be there to protect you. They will be there to investigate what happened to you.
Yeah.
But they cannot be there to protect you.
Well, now, you know, the people in this people in South Africa know this well. There is a crime eruption in the streets of South Africa right now where people are becoming victims of roving gangs and the rest of it. And many of these victims could probably or definitely turn the attack into a successful, supporting their own health and security. But many people in South Africa are caught in a terribly ambiguous gun law as well. Very similar to the, you have to go jump through all these hoops. What they said in South Africa, interestingly enough, is it's okay to have a gun, but you have to go through all these hoops. And guess what? You can't get through them.
Yeah, you can't get through
them. So what they say is, go ahead.
That's the same thing they're doing in America now. And see, Barack Obama is saying the same thing, that, I'm not against the Second Amendment. I'm just for reasonable and common sense regulation. And you see, the federal government has stolen regulatory authority over our rights. Our God-given rights were never meant to be regulated by Washington, D.C. or the federal government.
That's right.
But they have literally stolen that. And in my case, the United States Supreme Court ruled that, and I quote, this is right off of my book on page 15, the great innovation of this government was that our citizens would have two political capacities, one state and one federal, each protected from incursions by the other. And you see, and that's the thing, the local or municipal authorities, as Justice Scalia writes in here, form distinct and independent portions of the supremacy. See, the federal government thinks they're supreme. Well, the states form the federal government. The states own the federal government. The federal government didn't start our country. They did not start the states. It's just the opposite. The people form the states, and the states form the federal or central government, which was supposed to remain very powerless or impotent. And yet now we have this federal government that thinks they can run everything in our lives, control our guns, control our schools, control our children, control our speech, control our airwaves, control our televisions. And with that comes the socialistic, communistic agenda now that is being shoved down our throats in this country today.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm not going to take it anymore, and I don't think the sheriffs of this country are going to put up with it. And I really believe that the gun control issue is going to be the straw that will break the camel's back here in America, and that the sheriffs of this country, not all of them, I would say, but at least a third, especially in Texas and along the Bible Belt in the South and in the West, and even some in California, are not going to put up with this anymore. And I believe that the most important strategy that the sheriffs can have is one of unity and letting the federal government know, the White House, Barack Obama, and whoever else in Washington, D.C., let them know in a unified manner that these sheriffs are not going to allow any more gun control, any more confiscations, any more IRS criminality in their counties.
Mm-hmm.
And then send that to Washington, D.C. and the White House and let them know that they've been put on notice and that federal agents that violate this will be arrested for trespassing.
Well, now, you had a recent conference or a recent speech you gave...